to introduce to you Dr. Paul Mafumo. Paul is there, so please. Paul is a soil scientist. He is adjunct scientist and coordinator for Soil Fertility Consortium for Southern Africa, SOFEXA, that is based at CIMID, I believe.
Yes.
It is. Dr. Mafumo area of work has been around smallholder farming system and in relation to pressure of climate change and the variability of climate also. He is currently a leader for the Soil Fertility Task Force implemented by the FARA, the Forum for Agricultural Research in Africa, under the Challenge Program on Sub-Saharan Africa, with the Northeast Zimbabwe, Central Mozambique, Southern Malawi Pilot Learning Site. And even more recently, he has been quite an important actor, principal investigator, and team leader of a project with the University of Zimbabwe on climate change adaptation in Africa. And this is a project that is co-sponsored by DFID, the Department for International Development, and IDRC under their Climate Change Adaptation in Africa program. Paul holds a PhD in soil science as well as in agronomy, and an undergraduate degree in crop science from the University of Zimbabwe, and it's a pleasure to have you with us, coming such a long way to talk about your work. Paul?
Thank you. Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to thank McGill University for inviting me to have a chance to interact and deliver this talk, and also to IDRC and FARA for supporting our work in Southern Africa. Maybe I will start with the introduction of who SOFEXA is. It is a coming together of national research and extension institutions and universities in Southern Africa with a special focus on Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Malawi, and Zambia, coming together to address issues of food security and livelihoods in the smallholder farming sector. And with a deliberate focus on capacity building to produce quality research and also impact-oriented research. It does operate through multi-institutional and interdisciplinary teams in each country, what we call country teams, which are led by focal institutions nominated by those teams or those stakeholders. And then the focal institution would then nominate one scientist to lead work in that country. So the priorities for the region in terms of research are then aligned with national priorities for agriculture in the smallholder sector. With that, I think I would just start by looking at the major challenges that we face in Southern Africa. This has been alluded to in terms of how much the population in the rural areas is directly driving livelihoods from agriculture. But a major problem is the declining soil fertility in those farming systems, which has precipitated the poor capacity of the farming systems to respond to any type of shocks, including climatic shocks. I would give the example of Zimbabwe, where you see on that graph the lower graph will indicate that you have rainfall increasing just within the window of between 400 and 900 millimeters of rainfall. In Zimbabwe, 800 millimeters is high rainfall. But on sandy soils, the maximum we can still get is 1 ton per hectare. Even if you, it becomes worse if you have more rainfall. But on clay soils, you would have yields increasing with increasing rainfall. So you have better use of that rainfall if you have good soil fertility management. Then we have the problem of poor capacity of agricultural research and extension. I call that a broken pipe scenario, where most of these investors, development partners we have here, they do invest and expect to get impact at the end of the tunnel. But what you don't know is that there's no capacity to deliver that impact. So how do you get the impact at the end of the pipe? I think it's something that you have to consider seriously. Then we have the issue of a maize poverty trap. This maize poverty trap is there because of insufficiency of maize on the local and national markets. As long as farmers don't get enough maize in Southern Africa, they will continue to grow maize, even if it doesn't yield anything. So there has to be sufficient food first before we get any other innovations or any other technologies coming on board. And I think that is really a priority area to think about. Yield gaps. We have a yield gap of maybe 4 to 6 tons per hectare. You get maize yielding, if you're lucky, 0.5 tons per hectare. But varieties are there which give us 13 tons per hectare in those environments, 10 tons per hectare in those environments. So sometimes I work for CIMIT, it's a breeding institution. I was even making a debate to say, why are you keeping on putting money on improving yield to 15 tons per hectare? When we can still attain 3 tons per hectare with a variety that can give us 7 tons per hectare. So is the problem of germplasm, or is the problem of fertilizers and managing soils or agronomy in general to increase yield? It's something to consider. So what am I saying? I'm saying we have empty soils, empty stomachs, and poor livelihoods. And this has created conflicts. I heard one speaker talk about land grabbing, and was giving Zimbabwe as an example. I come from Zimbabwe. But yet, I also see a total disconnect between the political realms of debate on land and the local realms of debate on land. And it's something that we really have to take into consideration seriously, because the voice of the people on the ground is never heard. Then we have the extra load coming from climate change. These people don't have the capacity to adapt to climate change, especially if they don't have something to eat in the first place. This is coming from Mozambique. Just recently, on our climate change characterization process, we realized that these people have only 4 months of enough food after harvest. The rest is on roots, leaves, and this, not by choice, but by desperation. And I think we need to really see what we can focus on in terms of delivering options for these communities. Our approach in SOFEXA has been to use integrated soil fertility management as an entry point to promote both intensification to get enough maize and then diversify into various other crop types and crop varieties. And at the center of this is what we call learning centers, which means capacity building and co-learning is a priority. Co-learning because as we come from universities, high-tech institutions, advanced research institutions, there's a total disconnect with the realities of what can be delivered on the ground. So all of us have something to learn. That's why we call them learning centers. It's for everybody. It's not just teaching farmers. Because we have to consider the Africa is very diverse, the farmers are also quite diverse and heterogeneous. And we have to consider pockets of different biophysical, by socioeconomic scenarios. We have tried to use the innovation systems approach, where we try to have actors interacting at a higher level, and then also participatory action research at the local level to be able to deliver innovations. I've already alluded to the learning center concept. This is meant to generate what we call best fit options, what suits the particular community, the particular farmer in a particular geographical area or socioeconomic circumstance. I'm sorry, I will flip through a bit fast on some because I might lose time. Why the learning center? To generate best fits. At the same time, it also provides a rallying point for people to innovate and for people to call in and understand the problems more. Also, learning centers for capacity building purposes, because within the system, we have extension, research, and other players who are at different levels. Some belong to the school of the observational kind of research, some from farming systems, from different eras that you can think of. But to harmonize this and have a shared understanding and vision, I think requires quite some exchange of information. We also try to gather scientific evidence on where certain technologies are appropriate or inappropriate. And that is done as part of capacity building with universities leading the way and international and local research institutions leading the way as part of generating empirical data. We are seeing now that after some 2-3 seasons of intervention, some of the lands that were particularly poor in terms of yields are beginning to give high productivity. So my point is, it can be achieved. We are seeing also differences in technology demand by farmers of different resource endowments, which means our targeting mechanisms should be part of the priorities in terms of delivering benefits to farmers. Part of what we're trying to do is also to break the traditional barriers. In Zambia, we have Chitemene taking in 12 hectares of woodland to support 1 hectare of millet production from the much treasured forests. And we think that we can intensify and save those forests. Sometimes we get unnecessary encroachment into very marginal areas like aquatic environments. This is a case of Mozambique. And in working with them, we have generated issues that have been prioritized by the communities. And what we're seeing is that the issue of access to inputs is a priority. People have nothing to sell because production is so low. So the idea of output markets is not really something that is within them yet because there are no surpluses. Also, markets, in a sense, are also generating or accelerating poverty because we have buyers who come and buy the little grain. A farmer harvests 3 bags, but still sells 2 bags. because of immediate cash needs. But when they want to get back and buy a tin of grain, they can't get it. It's out of the locality. And so in that case, market is breeding poverty. So I think we need to look at the market issue more critically. So having enticed these partners to come on board, including private companies, including policymakers at different levels, they begin to get interested. And unfortunately, if there are no long, medium to long-term commitments in terms of support of these activities, it will be a bit difficult to take them through that transitional phase. So for that reason, I think you join us in some way to support us to write on the soil. We've learned that writing on these papers and so on doesn't help much to work with communities, but writing with them on the soil. Thank you very much.